come to help you understand what thus saith the Lord as it is written in the Holy Scriptures. Can I get an amen? Someone got to say amen to that, because there's just way too many pulpits that are not preaching the Bible. They're telling jokes, but they ain't preaching the Bible. Not that I ain't got nothing against jokes. It's the jokes, all right. So I want to tackle a couple things this morning to set the foundation for the next 5 weeks. And I encourage you to take notes. I encourage you to use your study guide that we passed out in the bulletin, because we're going to be tackling a couple things this morning. And the first thing that I want to tackle is, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom? Psalms 103 verse 19 says this. It says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom," get this, "his kingdom rules over all." His kingdom rules over all. Let me just remind you, and you're going to hear me say this a lot, that the Bible is predominantly about three things. It's predominantly about three things. It's about a king, it's about a kingdom, and it's about a royal family. A king, a kingdom, and a royal family. And when you talk about the kingdom, when you go to define the kingdom of God, In short, one of the shortest definitions of what it means to have a kingdom, or what does it mean to be a kingdom, is that a kingdom is a territory of a king. A kingdom is a territory of a king. That's one of the shortest definitions that will help us understand what a kingdom is, and it is a territory of a king. In fact, the word kingdom comes from two words: a king's domain. King's domain. And domain refers to a territory. Someone say territory. It refers to a territory. And God's territory, it expands from heaven all the way to earth. God's territory expands from heaven all the way to earth. And in God's territory is God's presence, God's order, and God's rule. I'm going to say it again. In God's territory is God's presence, God's order, and God's rule. When you submit to God's kingdom, you submit to God's rule. When you submit to God's kingdom, you submit to his rule. When you submit to God's kingdom, you submit to God's order. God has an order of doing things. He has a way of doing things. And the reason why a lot of our lives are out of order is because we have not been submitting to the kingdom of God. Does this make sense to anybody? See, when you submit to the kingdom of God, at that very moment, God begins to put your life back in order. You have nowhere to go but in order, because in the kingdom there is order. And I believe in 2018 God's going to put some lives back in order. I believe he's going to put some marriages back in order. I believe he's going to put some minds back in order. I believe he's going to put some families back in order. I believe that in 2008, God is going to rip the out of order sign off of many of our heads. And we're going to jump up and start getting our lives back in order for the glory of God. Does anybody believe that? And we do this as we seek and submit to the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is the territory of the king. And in his territory is God's presence, God's rule, and God's order. Now, once you understand what the kingdom is, you got to turn around and ask yourself, well, then what is the church? What is the church? The church is God's family of called out ones. The church is God's family of called out ones. Again, in Ephesians 2:19, it talks about God's household. Someone say household. Then in Galatians 6:10, it talks about the household of faith, the household of faith. When you hear the word household, it speaks of family. It speaks of family. You're not a guest anymore. You're not a visitor anymore. You're not a stranger anymore. You're part of the royal family of God. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're part of the royal family. This is why you can't live any way you want to live anymore. God has put his name on you. God has put his spirit inside of you. There is etiquette a part of the royal family. There's ways you got to talk. There's ways you got to live. There's ways you got to think in order to be put back in order. Household in the Bible days refers to refuge. It refers to protection. It refers to identity. When you're part of a household, you get the benefit of protection. You get the benefit of refuge, and you get the benefit of identity. And in 2018, if there's one thing you need to do, is you need to rise up in your new identity as being part of the household of God, and don't allow no one to put their identity on you. Don't allow no one to tag their identity on you. Don't allow the devil to tag his identity on you. You are not what you were then. You are what you are now. And that is part of the royal family of God. It's part of the royal family of God. What is the church? The church is God's family of called out ones. Called out ones. The word church literally means... It literally means called out ones. It literally means called out ones. And I want to remind you that if you're part of the household of God, God has called you out of the world. He has called you out of sin. He has called you out of brokenness. He has called you out of shame. He has called you out of guilt. He has called you out of failure. He's called you out of the patterns of your behavior that have been holding you down. He's called you out of negative patterns. He's called you out. If you're part of the family of God, you are called out. And this is one reason why you'll never, ever, ever, ever fit into the world again. You'll never, ever fit into the world again. You know why? Because God has stamped you with his spirit and he's called you out. I'm excited about getting out in 2018. I'm getting out in 2018. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. I'm not going to be a hostage to then. I'm getting out of then. I'm getting out of then. I'm stepping out of then and into my now. I'm stepping out of then and into my now. I'm excited about it. You know what? I'm not just getting out. I'm busting out. I'm busting out. I'm busting out of the old and I'm busting into the new. I'm not just getting out. I'm not going to just get up in the morning and just roll over and say, oh, another day. No, I'm busting out into what God wants me to do. There's just way too much in this world that God has called me. He sanctified me. He filled me with his Holy Ghost. I'm busting out. It's part of our rights and privileges as families of God. We're not going to be held hostage to then. Oh, I'm stuck on that word then, and I'm stuck on that word now. And I'm going to be more faithful to now than I am to then. Some of us, the problem with us is that we're too faithful to then, and we need to start being faithful to now. I didn't say that at the first service, so that's for somebody right here. Stop being faithful to then, and let's be faithful to now. So we understand what the kingdom of God is. We understand what the church is. Now, we need to understand, what is the relation between the kingdom and the church? What is the relation between the kingdom and the church? I want to give you a couple thoughts. I want to give you a couple thoughts as to the relation between the kingdom and the church. And number one is that the kingdom gives culture for the church. The kingdom gives culture for the church. The church cannot act just any way it wants to act. The church cannot be just any way it wants to be. The church cannot behave just any way it wants to behave. The church has to line up with kingdom culture because the kingdom gives culture to the church. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 3. He says, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct. Someone say conduct. It says conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. What is he doing? He's laying down the culture of the church, which should be kingdom culture. It's a culture. When you go to study culture, what is culture? Culture is a system of beliefs and practices that shows how one is to live. A culture is a system of belief and practices that shows how you are to live. And it's very important that a church has kingdom culture. In fact, I'll submit unto you that a church that does not have kingdom culture is not really a church. You might be a country club. You might be a concert. You might even be a gang, but you ain't no church. Culture is very, very important because it produces long-term behavior. Culture produces long-term behavior. A child grows up and lives out his adulthood based on the culture he grew up with in his home. Did you catch that? A child grows up and he lives out his adulthood based on the culture he grew up with at home. And so you say this, you say, you interview somebody or you have a conversation with somebody, you say, hey bro, why do you act like that? You're 35 years old. Why are you acting like that? Well, my daddy act like that. Why you do that? That ain't right what you're doing. Well, they did this at my home. Why are you behaving like that? Well, they did it where I come from. What happened? The culture of the home produced the long-term behavior. And that's why it's important that the church have the kingdom culture so it produces the right behavior that the royal family is supposed to demonstrate. Lest we don't represent the kingdom of God well. And we disrespect our king, which we don't want to do. Can I get amen? Amen. Culture is also important because it makes the king feel welcomed. It makes the king feel welcomed or unwelcomed. Culture is important because it makes the king feel welcomed or it can make the king feel unwelcomed. Kingdom culture makes Jesus, our king, feel welcome among us. We are a church, Chapel Change is a church, where we want Jesus to be welcomed among us because we realize that we're nothing without Jesus. And so we want the king, every time we gather, right? Every time we gather, we want the king to be manifested through the Holy Ghost amongst us. And the only way that's going to happen, or the way you facilitate that happening, is when you demonstrate kingdom culture, because culture makes the king feel welcomed. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Culture also makes the king feel not welcomed. If you have the wrong culture, the king will not feel welcomed. The reason why Jesus doesn't show up in a lot of churches is because he's not welcome. You could apply this to your home. Reason why Jesus doesn't show up in a lot of homes is because they don't make him feel welcome through their culture. The reason why Jesus doesn't feel welcome the reason why Jesus doesn't show up in a lot of homes is because he doesn't feel welcome at homes, certain homes. Can we talk like family? So what does it look like? I'm with my kids, I'm with my family, and I'm watching a rated R movie with a lot of obscene stuff. You think Jesus is going to just come and sit down next to me and hang out? You think Jesus is going to watch that with me? No, he's not. What does it look like? I'm cussing out my wife and my wife is cussing out me and we have a pattern of that. You think Jesus is going to come out and hang out with me? No. What am I doing? I'm creating a culture that is unwelcoming for Jesus. You could apply that to your house. You could apply that at your school. You want your school changed? Then bring the culture of the kingdom to your school and Jesus will feel welcome there. You don't have to have no laws that force you to pray. You just create kingdom culture and the Holy Spirit will just manifest right then and there. You could do that at your work. You tired of your job? Bring the kingdom down. You upset at your boss? Don't look right. They might see you right now. Bring the kingdom down by creating a culture that is welcoming to the king. A lot of the reason why a lot of churches do not have Jesus or Jesus doesn't show up is because they are unwelcoming. They're unwelcoming. They say they welcome Jesus, but they deny him at the door. They say they welcome Jesus, but they deny him through lack of worship. They say they welcome Jesus, but they deny him through lack of sacrifice. They say they welcome Jesus, but they deny him at the door. I remember hearing this story about a young man who was sitting on the curb, and he was visibly upset and discouraged. And Jesus, he came to him and said, young man, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And this young man, he didn't have the right pair of pants on. He didn't have the haircut that everybody has. You know, he didn't look like everybody else. But he was visibly discouraged, and he told Jesus, he said, Jesus, you know, I've been trying to go into that church, and they didn't want me in there. They said I didn't fit in. They said I didn't fit in. And Jesus tapped him on the shoulder and said, son, don't be discouraged. I've been trying to get in that church for 20 years now. And they ain't let me in either. May that not be our church, amen? But we're welcome. Lord, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Show up and show out and do your thing because we know we are nothing without you. We're nothing without you. And so So culture is very important. We're going to learn through the next couple of weeks about the culture of the kingdom that we should be demonstrating in the church. But there's another way in which the kingdom relates to the church, and that is the kingdom works through the church. The kingdom works through the church. The church is the greatest tool for the advancement of the kingdom of God. The church is the greatest tool to colonize this world with the kingdom of God. This is why we believe in church planting so much, is because we want to expand the kingdom of God, and the way that God does it is through the local church for the most part, because the church is the greatest tool for the advancement of his kingdom. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? How does the kingdom work through the church? Well, the church proclaims the message of the king and the kingdom. The church proclaims the message of the king and the kingdom. I'm going to put it up on the screen. The church proclaims the message of the king and the kingdom. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, and, someone say and, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Notice his message. His message included, it was a message about the king, and it was a message about the kingdom. Remember, you can't have the king without the kingdom, and you can't have the kingdom without the king. And so the church proclaims the message of the king and the kingdom. And I want to submit to you today that many churches are powerless is because they're preaching the wrong message. They're not preaching the right message. They're talking a lot about a good stuff, but they're not talking about the right stuff. And I want to submit unto you today that the church, by and far, has become victims of spiritual espionage. And the enemy has come and diluted our message. And anything that is watered down don't taste good at all. You ever tasted watered down soda? Tastes nasty. The enemy has tried to water down our message, and we wonder why lives are not being transformed. We wonder why lives are not being filled with the Holy Ghost. We wonder why people ain't living right. We wonder why people ain't repenting. We wonder why the manifestation of the gifts are not there. It's because the enemy has sabotaged our message and watered it down, and we expect God to bless a watered down message, and he don't do that. We got to bring the word. We got to bring the gospel. We got to bring the availability of the king and the kingdom. We got to bring them Jesus, and not no weak, long hair, frail Jesus. We need to bring them King Jesus, dynamic Jesus, the one that said all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That Jesus that rose from the grave, that sits at the right hand of the Father, not no skinny, frail, whatever. We have the most powerful message on the earth. No wonder why the enemy has attacked our message. The enemy, he does two things. He attacks the messenger and he attacks the message. Because the message brings the power of God. So the church proclaims the king and the kingdom, but also the church prays the kingdom down. The church prays the kingdom down. Now listen, the kingdom can break out at any moment, at any place, because the king is sovereign, all right? But Jesus has chosen prayer as a means to partner with him in order to manifest his kingdom on the earth. And so, Chapel of Change, we have a holy responsibility to be people of prayer. As Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so if you're part of Chapel of Change, one of the things you're going to learn eventually is how to pray. If you hang around us long enough, you're going to learn how to pray. And we have a saying that we are people of prayer. Our theme is to bring the kingdom down in 2018. And one of the primary ways that we're going to do that is by getting on our knees and compelling and praying and bombarding heaven to be manifested on earth. The church prays the kingdom down. And lastly, the church demonstrates the authority of the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom works through the church. The church is the most important tool in the advancement of the kingdom. How does the kingdom work through the church? Well, the church demonstrates the authority of the kingdom. Listen to what the scripture says in Matthew 28. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, someone say authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. In other words, I have the authority. I'm giving you the authority. I'm not giving it to you so you can watch novellas all day long. I'm not giving it to you so you can just, you know, play thumb wrestle and all that stuff. No, I'm giving it to you so you can go forth and make disciples. We as the church have authority. We have authority that comes directly from the King. We have authority to pray for the sick and believe that they'll be healed. We have authority to pray for people and believe that they'll be delivered. We have the authority to live victorious. Jesus actually said in Matthew 16, 19, he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. That represents authority. You have something in your heart and in your hands that the enemy should not be able to whoop on you in 2018. Because you have authority. Listen to what this scripture says in Matthew 10, 7, 8. Just listen to it. It says, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and drive out demons. I want to submit to you today, Chapel of Change, that in 2018, Chapel of Change is going to start driving out some demons up. We're going to start driving out some demons, man. We're tired of being ran around. We're tired of being on the defense. It's time that we be on the offense. It's time that we start kicking some butt. I don't know if I can say that in church, but I said it anyways. We got authority, and we ain't supposed to be laying down with it. We got to be using our authority, and for too long, the church has been on the defense. For too long, the church has been just trying to survive. Just trying to learn how to endure the hits of the enemy. But I believe that Chapel of Change in 2018 is going to flip the script. We're going to start knocking some things down. I believe we're going to start knocking some things down. If you take this journey with us of learning and growing and reaching, if you take this journey with us, you're going to learn how to knock some things down. Some things that try to knock you down or ain't going to be able to knock you down no more, but you're going to knock them down in the authority that you have as believers and citizens of the kingdom. Someone say, knock it down. Knock it down. I heard the story one time about Vince Lombardi, who was considered to be one of the best NFL coaches. And he was giving a pep talk to his players one day before a game, telling them the type of players they are and the type of player he wants. And he says, there's one type of player that when he gets hit, he falls down and he stays down. He says, I don't want that type of player. He's a bum. He said, there's another type of player who gets hit. He falls down. He gets back up. He gets hit again. He falls down and he stays down. He says, I don't want that type of player either. He said, there's a third type of player who gets hit. He falls down. He gets back up. He gets hit again. He falls down. He gets back up, he gets hit again, and he falls down, and with all his strength, he musters up the strength to get up one more time, and he gets up, and he stays up throughout the duration of the game, and at that moment, one of the players jumped up excited, saying, Coach, that's the player you want, that's the player I want, and you know what Vince said? Vince said, no, I want the one that's knocking him down. I want the one that's knocking them down. And I believe, Chapel of Change, that in 2018, we're going to rise up in the authority of our kingdom and our King, and we're going to start knocking some things down. We're going to knock down depression. We're going to knock down failure. We're going to knock down brokenness. We're going to knock down addiction. We're going to knock down bad attitude. We're going to knock. Remember Mike Tyson, uppercut. I done took you back. You got to Google that right there. But we got to knock it down. And that happens as we submit and walk in the authority that you have as a believer. There ain't no reason why you should get whooped on in 2018. No reason why. No reason why. You have authority, authority, authority. It's time to rise up in our authority. It's time. It's time. No more games. Knocking it down. Knocking it down. Knock it down. That opportunity that God is going to give you, you got to knock it down. I'm knocking it down. You got to knock it down. Don't just get up in the morning and roll out of bed. Knock it down. Knock it down. Don't just show up at school no more. Knock it down. Don't just show up at work anymore. You're not there by accident. God sent you there. God sent you there. Knock it down. Knock it down. Knock it down. The devil tries to throw something at you. Knock it down. Knock it down. I'm knocking it down. I'm knocking it down. God ain't going to waste no power on me. I'm not going to waste no power on me. If God gave it to me, I got to use it. If God gave it to me, I got to use it. I got to use it. I'm going to at least swing. I'm at least swing. What happens then is up to God. I'm just going to swing. Because he says, I have the authority. He says, I have the power. He said, all authority and power has been given unto him. And go therefore. I got to go. So I'm going to go. What happens next is up to God. That's his responsibility. I'm going to go. I'm going to step out and I'm going to swing. And I'm going to see what happens. And I'm going to believe God for a miracle. Anybody ready for that? Anybody ready for that? Anybody ready to start swinging? Anybody ready to start swinging in 2018? Ready to start swinging. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. In a spirit of reflection, I want us to think about what God said to us this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed. What did the Lord tell you? And how are you going to respond? Let's just reflect upon that for a moment.